Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs. Singles and doubles, triples and quadruples, threesomes and moresomes, husbands and wives, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God. Jesus, Allah, Brahma, Buddha, the great polyamorous goddess, or Zoroaster. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can I hear an A women?
A women!
I want to welcome you to Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. This is the womb room, baby, where it's warm inside and sometimes gets a little wet. And it's a speakeasy where we don't do anything illegal. Ossifer. But we do speak easy. Or at least we try to speak easy about subjects that are not so easy to speak about. Tonight, we are speaking about monogamy. And polyamory. And swinging. But monogamy is part of the title of the show and the book. Monogamy. Sounds a little like monotony. Hogamous. Man is polygamous. Hygamous, hogamous, woman's monogamous. I don't know. It just ain't so. Not exactly. Maybe we're all a little bit non-monogamous. Or maybe not. Maybe not. We're going to dive into the sea. The Emerald Sea. The violet, dark, deep waters of human sexuality. Yes. Wild and free, swinging through the trees,
like the bonobos, and civilized, cultivating a garden of monogamy or polyamory, a garden in the jungle of our natural human sexual feelings, which are, we are discovering through science and through that window into our souls. We are discovering it's more and more like bonobos. What to do with ourselves? We are so fickle as a pickle, and fickle with the pickles. So tonight we're going to talk about it, and maybe a little more. The title of my show is Monogamy Sucks, taken from a book, an e-book that was very nicely printed out for me in this old-fashioned papyrus format by the author, George Pappas. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to the Speakeasy. Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Hi, Dr. Susie.
So, yeah, you are, this is our first time meeting in person, but you've heard the show before.
Oh, I've been listening to your show probably since the mid-90s, and you actually inspired that book.
I did. It's my fault. Oh, my God.
Well, some would say it's your fault. Some would say, it's a great thing that you did. So.
Well, I guess thank you. Yeah, I think I will say thank you because it's a great book. It's very well written and funny and gets inside of the psyche of the human male swinger. And half the book is about the human male wannabe swinger, since he doesn't actually really succeed until about halfway through. So how did I inspire you? What happened?
Well, actually, in the mid-90s, I was going through a series of monogamous relationships. I was frustrated. I wasn't happy. I was thinking about cheating. Just one failed relationship after another. And one night, I heard your show. I'd actually read about you a couple articles about you, and I read your show, or listened to your show, and I was, it was an epiphany that I had that night.
An
it was
epiphany.
A revelation to me.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord and the Lady.
And you talked so freely about your life, and you had a series of shows about swingers and just talking about open relationships.
You know, I'm always doing a series of shows about swingers and open, where they go off and on in between the BDSM and squirting. Right.
It really opened up a whole new world to me. And at that point, I just got out of a horrible relationship I was in and just started on this journey. The problem was I didn't know how to do it at first. I mean, I started in the most ridiculous way, just putting ads in what used to be, I think it's the LA Express and some of these others. There was no internet at that time. So it was just, it was a journey that was...
Well, there was barely an internet in
barely
the 90s.
Barely an internet, yeah,
There was some. Actually, I was on the internet, but there was not, I don't know, maybe Craigslist had just started. I mean, there wasn't Adult Friend Finder yet. There wasn't, Bonobo Way. There wasn't much. So the LA Express was it.
That was pretty much it. And what I found is that it's like, swinging is like life. There's good and bad. I mean, there's this whole fantasy thought that we have about swinging, and some of it fits and some of it doesn't. And I wanted to write that book because I wanted to show swinging not as we fantasize it, but as it is, both good and bad, both as it is in life. I mean, there's amazing sex that transformed your life, and then there's sucks that you just wish that you didn't go through. So,
yeah, and you get into gory detail about the sex you wish you didn't go through.
Well, I wanted to leave in everything that other writers leave out, and I wanted to to truly bring the writer into the, I guess, the lust-filled mind of a male. I mean, the lust drives us, and there's no denying it drives male and female.
Sure.
But I wanted to just be as honest as I could, and I know if I was amusing myself, and if I was, the more honest I got, the more I felt I was on the right track. Although, you know, I didn't know it would take 12 years to get published, but, you
know. Wow, I didn't know that either, but okay, that better late than never.
Exactly.
Right, and yeah, I mean, it does seem to me to get very deeply inside of the human male swinger, like what motivates you, the lusts, the ego, the insecurities, the hopes, the fears, all of it, the ups and downs of both your experiences and your dick, you know, and I mean, you're very frank about that, and it might offend some people because you get very frank about not liking certain women and, you know, certain people, couples, and I mean, but it does mean that when you do find women and couples that you like, the reader actually believes it, that, yeah, now he's rolling, you know, because before, oh, my God, so tough. Of course, Viagra would save you every once in a while.
Occasionally.
You discovered that. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be disingenuous of me not to you know, focus on everything, even the thoughts that, you know, because he's a much darker version of myself, and, you know.
Jake Domus,
the main
character. So did you go through most of the main things that that Jake goes through?
Yes, and then also it's based on stories of people I met. Mm. And then it's fiction, so there's fiction in there. I won't tell you what scenes are complete fiction, but.
Well, most of the book is about swinging, from a single guy's point of view.
From,
I mean, a lot of people think that swinging is something married people do, and of course it is. But single people can swing too. I mean, it's you swing with the married people or you swing with other single people. It's casual sex that is not about a relationship. It's about the sex, mostly. And so most of it's about swinging, and then towards the end you get into a relationship, or your character
does. An open relationship.
An open relationship, which is kind of, I mean, I don't know if we could call it polyamorous. Would you call it that?
I would just call it an open relationship. I guess it could be, but that's the only relationship that he has.
Yeah.
And it just happens. I thought it might be interesting to explore that side because it's not always talked about in the swing world. Although it is talked about couples, but it isn't talked about how a single person could find somebody and have an open relationship and possibly find love, which, you know, I think most people that read my book don't think that character is going to find love as time goes on. But I thought that might be an interesting angle to explore in the sequel.
Well, basically, this character doesn't want to commit himself to the idea, the plan of having sex with only one woman for the rest of his life.
Of course.
So if he finds a woman, though, that he falls in love, has that, you know, love feeling, and she doesn't want to confine him, then why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's the beginning of polyamory.
Well, exactly. I didn't define it. I just thought
No. I'm just trying to segue into my next guest here. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, not that swinging leads to polyamory like a gateway drug, although maybe it does. I don't know. We're going to explore a little more, and we'll come back to you. But, I've got a whole family here to introduce. Wow. No kids, though. No one under 18, right? Okay. Although you might be very childlike, I would imagine. You seem playful. So this is the Black family, right? And let's see, we could turn their mics on now, but let's start with Indigo Black.
Hello.
Hi. So, welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, wow, you are all dressed up, very businesslike.
Well, I love clothes.
Yeah? Okay. So, you're part of the Black family.
Yes.
What part are you?
Well, I've been in a relationship with him for the longest.
Him being?
Being
Orpheus
Black.
Who
yes.
is going to be introduced in momentarily, but mm-hmm. we are building up suspense.
And I am one of a total of three wives.
Yes.
And then we have...
Are you Mormon?
No.
Okay, just getting that out of the way.
No.
Just in case they do it too.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. You know? But religion is not a part of our relationship.
Oh.
It is not religious based.
Mm.
I also have... I don't just...
Who was the one that said hallelujah really loud? Okay, that's good. I like that. No, no religion based. A little spiritual.
No, it's
though.
Not religious yeah. based. But we... Let's see, we have a relationship with him, and we have a relationship with each other, the women and
that helps. I always thought that that's what the Mormons should do, you know. The girls should get it on together. And who knows if they do, they're not going to tell us.
No.
So, okay, but you ladies mm-hmm. like each other, all of you? Or
yes, just, all of us.
And equally or more or less depending on your period or, you know?
I don't think it's a matter of equal
okay.
or not equal. It's just we all... perform different functions.
Mm.
And I do know before we found this particular mixture, when we finally found all the pieces is when it was like, oh, this is perfect. Wow. Everyone, this does this and this takes care of that. It just all fell in. It all clicked into place. It was supposed to be.
Were you monogamous before?
From the moment I was in a relationship with Orpheus, no.
Okay, but before that?
I have had a monogamous relationship.
How did that go?
That was horrible.
Oh. Would you agree that monogamy sucks?
Well, it wasn't so much as monogamy sucks.
The guy.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good relationship.
Okay.
And then my very first relationship that I had was with a woman.
Mm.
Well, we were girls at the time.
Yeah.
And then when I found this male relationship, I completely cut off that portion of my life.
Mm.
And I had hid it because, well, we had gotten found out by our parents, the girl and I, and they
oh.
sort of put a stop to it. And so it was sort of shameful.
Yeah.
And I hid that. And so I tried to live my life without experiencing that portion of it. And that didn't function very well. And when I met Orpheus, there was no reason for me to hide who I am. And when he decided that this is what he wanted to do, it was like, I didn't care. I just wanted to be with him. And it just went from there.
I don't know what percentage, but I would say most men like it when their girl wants to be with other women. I don't know about if they want it to be polyamorous necessarily, because that involves a lot more than sex. But if it's just about sex, hey.
Oh, yeah. And my relationship with women isn't just about sex. I'm not saying that I'm going to turn down a hot piece of sex. That's a lie. I have very male tendencies when it comes to sex. Sex and love are not the same thing for me. But there's something else that I have in this poly relationship. It is a relationship. It is not just sex.
All right. So, now we come to another wife of Mr. Orpheus Black. This is Sybil Hawthorne. Somehow you have not taken the name of Black.
Well, I have a professional name that I'm known by, but I do have the name as well.
Okay, so you could be Sybil Hawthorne Black.
Correct.
Under certain circumstances. In court, say. If you all got hauled into court,
yes.
You'd be Sybil Hawthorne Black.
Correct.
Okay. Well, welcome to Speakeasy.
Thank you.
So, tell me about your part in the family.
I'm the newest one, so I've been together with Orpheus and the family for about 3 or 4 years now, but I just recently, I guess in the last year, moved up here and got to be with them 24/7, so it's...
Where were you before?
I was in San Diego for a little bit.
I see. So you were married, but you lived in San Diego?
We've actually only recently got married.
Ah, so you're all married?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The 26th of last month.
Yes.
Where do you do this kind of marriage?
Wherever you want.
Okay.
There's no precedent for it,
right.
So we got to do exactly what we wanted to do.
Hey, guys, if you want to get married again, I'm a Universal Life Church minister. So, just for the next wife, okay? I don't know if you have a limit. But, so, were you in monogamous relationships before? Were you a swinging girl, or what were you before?
Growing up, I guess my teens and everything, I was monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into BDSM, I realized that monogamy was not necessarily the norm, So I was used to poly, but used to, I guess, monopoly, where I had
monopoly.
I had a monogamous relationship with the person who owned me, but they had multiple submissives.
Oh, that doesn't seem fair. But I guess if you're a slave, it's not
it's
supposed,
not supposed
to be
fair.
Right. So yes. You are a submissive.
I'm a switch, but yes.
You're a switch. You can dominate if paid. I don't know.
I'm more of a sadist than a dominant.
Oh, a sadist, she says with a smile. I see. Okay, so you're more submissive, but you like to inflict pain if it seems right. Or
yeah.
If somebody says, whack that
yeah.
bitch.
I do find giving pain quite fun.
Okay, yeah, seem like you do. Giggle about it. Yeah, right. Okay, and so, and do you like receiving pain
yes.
as well?
Mm-hmm.
You're a pain slut.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and so, do you have special duties as the youngest, not the young, but the most recent wife?
I don't think the duties are determined by length of time that we've been here. Orpheus will be able to discuss that more, but it's more what we're good at.
Uh-huh. What are you good at?
He would be able to tell you, I guess. And,
okay.
Some of those things we might need to get into later. Not in the introduction part.
Now, I hear you have, like, the most fabulous breasts this side of the Mississippi.
I am known for having fabulous breasts. That is correct.
You're not just known for that. You put it on your Twitter.
It's true.
Okay? So, that's... and they are beckoning very, you know, sort of teasingly. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. Have you decided that, or did Orpheus tell you that?
I do, like, fetish and BDSM modeling, so uh-huh. I get naked a lot, and I'm told that a lot.
Can we have a quick flash? Okay, photographers, assemble. Well.
Very good.
Wow. Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. We have the pearl necklace with the pearl.
The pearl.
Right. Okay. Tatas. We always like tatas yes. on the show. Thank you very much. Okay. Maybe we'll see those again later, but,
yes.
you know, we appreciate that. So, now that I'm duly stimulated, I will move on to Pater Familia. Okay, welcome, Orpheus Black.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You know, I love your name. It's, you know, a twist on one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm glad to hear it. I love that movie.
You know, and that movie's so full of sex and joy and
black
also...
Men.
Black man, yeah. You bet. It's a hot movie. It's
Definitely.
A sexual movie. Uh huh. Is that what inspired your name, or
you know
your
what,
mama?
You know, I used to do spoken word back in the days, and I looked for a pen name, and Orpheus Black. You know, I just
it's
came to me, and we went with that.
Mm-hmm. So spoken word. You're a poet.
Used to be. I don't
Once
write very
poet,
much
Once a poet, always a poet.
I like to say that. I like to fancy myself still a poet, but there's some great stuff coming out now, so I don't think I could compete anymore.
Where do you compete? I mean, what do you like to say you do?
What do I like to say? I'm an adult entertainer.
An adult entertainer?
Yes.
Okay.
That's I do BDSM. I do adult. I shoot adults. I've got 3 AVN nominations.
Very good.
You know, so on and so forth. I enjoy my career.
Well, you're very famous in the porn world and in the BDSM world and the poly world. So,
I like to say so.
What's happening, Poly Papa?
You know what? This is something that we stumbled into. You know, an ex-girlfriend of mine introduced us to this whole BDSM dynamic, and
an ex-girlfriend
introduced who's not here.
You and Indigo.
No, yeah, introduced me and Indigo to the BDSM lifestyle.
So you got with Indigo first of this batch. I mean, this
yes, of this
family.
Batch. just to put it in perspective, me and an ex-girlfriend who were together met Indigo. After that, we met this lovely young lady here, Ema, and then we met some.
Wow.
That's the chain of events.
And now, why don't you just kind of have a lot of girlfriends? Why do you have to be married to them all?
Well, you know what? It's not that we don't have girlfriends. girlfriends.
You have those too.
Our family consists of more people. Yes.
Oh, there's the extended family.
Right. The extended family.
This is
right.
only the immediate family.
You know what? After being with such beautiful women for so long, I mean, what is the next step? You know, we have to kind of have some traditions. We have to have some focuses, anniversaries, things that normal people do. So we decided, well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to be honest, I wanted to do it for my birthday, too. You know what I mean? Because the best present I can get is to be able to have a global commitment with the women that love me, you know, and that I care about.
Yeah, well, you're a traditionalist at heart.
I think so.
Okay. Kind of like the Mormons.
I'm more man than most.
All right, then. You know? I think that's what they say, too.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know,
Were you a swinger before? I mean,
no.
Do you consider yourself a swinger? I mean, well, listen, you have the family, but you also have other women, so aren't you a swinger?
No, not at all. I enjoy a commitment from the people I'm having sex with, or anticipate a commitment that I'm having with the people I'm having sex with. You know, there's no sexual liberation freedoms that we're having outside of our dynamic, especially at this point in time. And if we do, I like there to be them not to sleep with anybody else but us. You know what I mean? That's just me. Maybe I'm just greedy and I want everything myself.
I guess so.
but truth of the matter is, you know, I try and keep our sexual promiscuities to commitment. You know what I mean? With people that I want to be around, people I want to have a relationship with. And I also want to share them with the people that I love, you know, I care about. I kill it, bring it home, share it with the pack.
Okay. George, you prefer casual sex.
Casual sex. I'm single. I have a keen interest in swing lifestyle. I wouldn't consider myself a hardcore swinger, but I have several ladies that I see when, you know, they come out to L.A.
And do you think casual sex is somehow better than commitment sex?
No, I just I don't want to have a commitment. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to limit myself. And I don't mean that as a criticism. Anything that makes anybody happy, whether it's monogamy,
right.
non-monogamy, and you know the amazing setup you guys have, he's my hero.
And you know, I have gotten quite a few. Let's say. Riled up responses to the title, I think. I don't know if they're really reading your book, but the title, Monogamy Sucks, really is riling up a lot of people out there who just, you know, kind of take offense. I try to explain that it's not really your ultimate philosophy. It's the view of the character in the book. However, the character of the book is based on you, but I know you're sort of more non-judgmental than maybe the title leads, and you are a writer, and I know it's catchy. And the fact of the matter is that the catchiness of it and the fact that it isn't so even-handed is what gets people kind of paying attention to it and going, "Hey, what do you mean monogamy sucks?"
I get those kind of responses on the Twitter feed probably every week, every day.
Mm. Oh, really?
It's been happening probably since about a year and a half.
More from women or from men? Probably
more from
women.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
both.
It's
really?
Just, I love monogamy, you don't know what you're talking about, then I have to explain it to them. I mean, I have a real thick skin now because I get it all the time. It's just, no, you know what you're talking about. And you know, I try to explain to them that I'm just presenting alternatives. I'm asking questions, is what an artist is supposed to do. A writer is supposed to ask questions and present alternatives to the traditional, you know, the traditional view. And, you know, once they see that, the amazing thing that's happened, and this is why I sat on this book for 12 years because I didn't think anyone would be interested in it, is women embrace the book like, I'm shocked. I mean,
because it seems like, and I guess it is, a peek inside of a guy's mind. And at first, it sort of riled me. I mean, you were criticizing some old bag, fat, or whatever. I mean, you were just dried up pussy. I mean, just
that's
everything.
That's some of the humor, though.
More funnier than that, okay? But getting that
no,
across.
No, I was trying to use humor
okay,
so you could
I'm
get
sorry,
into the world.
I was getting that across, but it was funnier, but it was still, you know, kind of like, ooh.
No,
you know? And yet, you know, I'm thinking, well,
I mean, this is what guys think sometimes, especially when it's a swinger guy who's answering an ad and doesn't know what the chick looks like and just is so horny, he just will go to some hotel and just have sex with someone he hasn't seen. And even after having had bad sex like 12 times, and he'll still go because he hears the call of the cock, you know, and it takes him out to that hotel, and then the monster is before him, this thing that maybe he can fuck, maybe not. I don't know. It's really interesting. And then, of course, you gradually, you know, you come up with these ways of fucking women that you're not attracted to, which are very interesting. A lot of hints for guys who are in a pinch, you know. I mean, you know, it's like porn star suggestions, I guess.
Well, I'll say this. A lot of that was amped up for the humor. Mm. So, I mean,
were able to use one
He's
of those methods
give us one
for
of those
having
tips.
Well, you could use some of
them. Well, Viagra's one.
Viagra's one, but in general, you know, like I said, it was a journey, it was an adventure, it was something that you learn about
yourself. You could put blindfolders on.
I must say...
Well, what are you going to do?
I must say, the one thing I noticed the character doing, and this is something that guys can learn from, and even women can learn from in certain situations, I guess, is he would accentuate the positive. I mean, he had like this litany of horrible things about a woman, but there was one positive thing. I mean, she was horrible looking, her pussy's just impossible, but she gave a good blowjob. So, look for the positive, right, if you have to. Okay, but hopefully you don't get into those situations. That is one of the unfortunate things about swinging that way, is you get into these situations with strangers. Are you going to have sex with them or not?
But I had a swinger tell me that was considered swamping, that kind of swinging, because a lot of people do swinging through clubs, and if you do it that way, you're going to end up with a lot of people that are undesirable.
Yeah.
But that's, in the book, it's kind of more of the humorous side of it. I have to put the humor in there.
Well,
a person couldn't even read it.
The suspense.
That
what
too.
What will this one really be like? Because, of course, a lot of them lie.
All
so anyway, they all lie, right, on these ads. Even nowadays with, of course, the internet, and you can put up the pictures, but people put up old pictures.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, moving right along to my next guest, the lovely Playboy TV model and cook, chef, I should say, Amina Noir.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening to you.
How do you do?
I do okay. I'm doing good. So, what's your take on all this? How do you fit in? Swinger, poly, lesbo, playgirl?
Pretty much, yes. I'm a modern woman with 1950s sensibilities who's a lot more kinky and a lot more open-minded.
Mm.
And I think between polyamory, monogamy, swinging, that... there's a little something in it for everybody, even in the couple in the Midwest, feeling a little shy. I hear you. They're out there.
Yes.
There's something in it really for everybody, and I think a lot of people are intimidated, but most regular marriages end in divorce, and most husbands, I'm not a man-hater. I like men, too, but most of them cheat on their wives, so let's bring in some other ideas and some open conversation.
Now, no one accused you of being a man-hater.
No.
Why did that come up?
Why? Because a lot of times when the word lesbian comes up, it has a very negative connotation.
Oh, not here.
Not here.
No.
But in many circles it does. Or they think, oh, you're a lesbian, you don't know anything about men. And it's like, mm-mm.
Well, now you were on Playboy.
Yes.
I mean, that's mostly for men.
For men.
Although these days, I don't know, it's like teenage girls wear Playboy insignia, so I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, when were you on? What was the story?
Okay. So I really respect and have a lot of admiration for Hugh Hefner, and I've had a soft spot in my heart
Poor
for him.
Poor Heffy. Runaway bride left him at the altar.
He's found another.
Cookie cutter.
Exactly. So I've spent some time at the Playboy Mansion, and I've been on Playboy Radio, featured on Playboy TV. And even though that's for the men, and I'm a lady of queer persuasions. I'm blessed with what the universe gave me, and if you like what I got, then I'm not going to hate on you for loving how I am.
So guys can look, but not touch?
Unless I invite them personally.
Oh, unless. Yes. Well, then, some of them can. Okay. I don't know.
You know. Yeah.
You never know. Okay, so you could, but not lately, or...
For the most part, ladies are my pleasure, and it would take extraordinary gentlemen. But
here I am.
Yes. Well, I don't know. You'd have a lot of ladies because he's got a lot of wives.
I sure do. It's a great night to meet the sister wives.
Put up with him. Yeah.
I want my own sister wives. I'll work on Orpheus.
There you go. Take your time.
Yes. Just as long as none of them are Eurydice. Yes. Well, that was sad. But of course, that's a great love story, Orpheus and Eurydice, even though it ends in tragedy. Yes. So many love stories end in tragedy.
They do.
I think that polyamory is an effort, and even swinging is somewhat of an effort to not end the love story.
Not so Romeo and Juliet. Mm. You know, expand your heart, expand your mind. Mm. And, you know, different people are going to make you come in different ways. So if you're a responsible adult and you're open to it and you're down, why not experience and liberate yourself instead of being shacked up at home with your hubby who, you know, you don't even take your clothes off in the dark and you always wear makeup. And, you know, there are these wives, a lot of them. They won't undress in front of their husbands. Something is fundamentally wrong with that.
Yes.
That's
and on
sad.
That note, I'm going to give out the phone number.
Yes.
Which anybody can call. In the U.S., you can call it toll-free. Also in Canada. I'm not sure about Mexico, whether we let the Mexicans call free. But you can try it, you know, if the cartel will let you. 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. And you can ask a question, tell a story, share a fantasy. A lot of people fantasize about swinging. Well, mostly they fantasize about cheating. But sometimes they get a little more evolved and fantasize about swinging. I guess I think it's more evolved because it's somewhat more ethical, more honest, I guess.
Yeah. You've got a caller.
I've got a caller.
Goddess Sadie, actually.
We have her.
She has a question. Would you like
to? Awesome. Yes. Hopefully I can read it. Yeah. Okay. Goddess Sadie, let's put her on.
Okay,
what is the best approach to dealing with jealousy in a polyamorous new relationship? Well, this is classic question number one. Jealousy. Okay. Who wants to bite?
You're on the line, Goddess.
Oh, let's have the Goddess first. Goddess Sadie, hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you on the phone, on the air, because you've been here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And are you in a new polyamorous relationship?
It's new for her. I've been poly for a while, but we're having some challenges as far as possessiveness or insecurities or, you know. So I was just calling to find out, like, what's the best approach for new relationships when, like, different ways to handle, you know,
jealousy.
Insecurities or possessiveness.
The green-eyed monster. Who wants to?
I'll jump in there on that.
Okay.
You know, the first thing I would say is conversation. You have to talk when you're in a polydynamic. No question is stupid. No conversation is dumb. You have to talk.
Mm.
If you don't have an open way of communicating, then it's going to be doomed from the start.
What if you're shy?
If you're shy, write it. You know, blog it. Do what you have to do.
Communicate.
But you have to talk with somebody who has...
We talk a lot.
That's no problem. You know what I like to say?
You
know what I like to say is for me, sometimes you have to talk to a friend. I always like to say, you know what, let me talk to my friend. Can I talk to somebody? You know, don't be my girlfriend right now. Be my friend. Give me some advice. Here's what's going on. you know, and really address the issue, because a lot of times when people call it jealousy, it's really envy. Somebody's envious of your time that you're spending with somebody else. Mm. You know, sometimes
we confuse those words.
Exactly, with greed and these other things.
But we think of jealousy as something somehow more spiritual than envy. Like, we have a right to jealousy, whereas envy is more greedy and it's about possessing something. But it does behoove you to stop and think, what part of my jealousy is envy? Mm-hmm. And just kind of wishing that I had something good in my life that I see my partner has. And then maybe you need to do something good for yourself or get somebody to.
I find that it's insecurity a lot of times, too. So if you're feeling insecure, maybe you need to express that you're that you are feeling insecure to your partner and find out why you are and what you can do to help that.
Well, she feels like, why is it always about sex? And for me, it's not about sex. I mean, granted, I do like hot, kinky, raunchy, down and dirty sex. And
my number is 818.
Your number on the internet.
Join the harem.
You know, the other thing is, too, take your time and define the boundaries within your relationship, what you want, what they want, and see if it's compatible. Because, you know, particularly me and Indigo share a dynamic, me and Sybil share a dynamic, and then me and Ema share a dynamic, and they're not the same. Me and Indy probably have the highest sex drive in the house, and we like playing in a BDSM sense with lots of women. We enjoy it. It's fun. It's something that we really, really enjoy. We also enjoy group sex, whereas, you know, maybe one of the other girls is very into having sex with just the people in our family.
Do you ever invite a guy over, or is it just you and the chicks?
I would like to say never. No.
George is sort of licking his lips.
I hope not for me.
Not for you, no.
But we do have a. We actually have a woman who's in our family who is married, and when we met her, she was married. He was at war, so we do make allowances for him. Mm. And it's weird because I'm very hetero, and I'm very much into girls. I love women.
But movies, aren't other guys in some of the movies?
Not normally.
Really?
You know what? Well, let me finish. Let me finish. The guy in my family, I didn't know I could care about another man in that way, to care that he's his needs. We've all had sex in the same room, in the same bed. Mm. I want him to get what he needs out of the dynamic, and I really do. So that was something that I could never account for. So he probably is the first and the last. I'm just not into men. You know, it does nothing for me when I'm in the same room. As for my adult career, you know, people come to me because I have a specific talent in BDSM that a lot of people can't do. So I get a lot of adult entertainers who look for me to do that.
I want to hear more about that specific talent in a moment. But back to our question of jealousy. Jealousy. George, have you ever dealt with jealousy? I mean, you don't seem very jealous in your book, Monogamy Sucks.
Let me share a story that some swingers told me. It was actually a swinging couple that I had been with. Because essentially they bring men into their relationship. They refer to them as stunt cocks, or they're brought in
and then they're
just for pleasure, and then they're gone. And that was a lot of what happened. Well, I've experienced in my own life and also in the book. And they said to me, this is, we don't fight about jealousy anymore because we set up boundaries. And we said, we're going to go out and explore this, because they used to cheat on each other. Mm. And now they don't do that anymore. So now they just, they go out, they find somebody like me, or whatever way it was, internet or through the ad, have a night of passion, and they go back to their relationship, their picket house, their life, their mainstream life, because a lot of swingers are like anybody else. They're like, just because they expand their sex lives, they are mainstream, they're in the mainstream, they live like everyone else.
And I think that kind of relationship almost is monogamish. It's like they have a partnership for sure, and they're not polyamorous. They don't have another a serious partner, but they do like the titillation, you know. If not a dildo, how about a real guy?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like the human dildo, and a lot of now. How about you for that, Sadie, goddess?
Yes.
I mean, when you want to look outside of your relationship with your young, jealous lover, I mean, are you just looking for, what are you looking for? I mean, can you actually share it with her? Do you have to have it separate from her?
Before we started a relationship, I let her know, like, I enjoy multiple relationships on different levels. Different people give me, I have different, various relationships. Some are just very carnal, hardcore sex, and then some are just intimate, stay up all night talking and cuddling and snuggling. Some are shopping and pedicure dates, you know, but still just as intense. So I like the variety of seeing different people and having different types of relationships with different people at the same time.
So you're really more poly than your example, George, exactly. of the committed couple who opens it up to the human dildo or human pussy or whatever it is, sex toy.
I have a question.
Just more pleasure.
Indigo.
I was wondering, the person that you have this relationship with, is this dynamic new for them, or is this something they've done before?
Yeah, it is.
It's something that they've done, but I call it the non-consensual poly. Like, my partner cheats, and I'm okay with it. Uh-huh. I really am not okay, but I don't go anywhere, and they keep cheating, and then they have other girlfriends and boyfriends. So you have to be okay with it if you stick around and you know that's what they do.
Right. But you're okay with it, but you don't have to see it. You know what? I have one thing. I think maybe she needs to redefine what this relationship is and remove the ownership markers, whereas you are my partner, you are my, and get rid of those and stop looking at it through the, as I'm going to use, the vanilla eyes. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we try to bring these vanilla aspects, this different type of lifestyle, into this new lifestyle that we're trying to live, and they don't fit very well, and you find yourself very confused. Also, if you guys could maybe find other friends who also have this similar type of relationship, so there's other people for them to talk with and see, oh, yes, we are normal, this is okay. I think those things help, but also the constant talking. And if, because our relationship, I know the other women, you know, I see them, we live with each other, we have dinner together. If we have
you have sex with them.
Right. If we were having a problem,
don't forget that.
And maybe I couldn't talk and maybe I couldn't talk with Orpheus at the time because I am too close to the pain or it is too close to me, I can talk with one of the other ladies, one of the other girls, and we sit and we talk and then we all come together and we talk and
gang up on it.
And it's always important.
That's like what
it's not a gang up. It's not a gang up, but what it is it's important to have relationship conversations with people who have a vested interest in your relationship. Because when you use outside advice, they really don't care about your relationship. And a lot of people who don't have one will promptly tell you how to be out of yours.
That's true. They sometimes do. I mean, it depends, I think, on the situation. Sometimes it's good to have an outside view because everybody in your relationship has a serious agenda about you. So sometimes when you want to know something that you're confused by everybody, you know, confused by your one partner or your seven partners, I'm now doing a pitch for sex therapists, okay? Sometimes it's good to talk to somebody that's not involved.
Well, you know what? A sex therapist, though, takes a different route. I mean, like, you know, just the girlfriend or whatever, someone who's already maybe not having their best relationship, they tend to not always give you the best advice for your relationship. They take things personally and about how they would react to the situation that you are in.
Well, that's true. Okay, so now, Goddess Sadie, my darling.
Yes.
I mean, your girlfriend, you know, you've got a lot of chemistry with her. I think I saw you with her, didn't I? Was she here? Yes. And there's and she loves you. She adores you. But it seems as though if you're going to have a poly relationship, there has to be more than chemistry. There has to be an agreement of some sort. There has to be an understanding in our society.
I mean, we have the boundaries that we've come to terms that I guess you would call it, define it as a closed poly. Like, we have our boundaries with external relationships. And I'm really the one that needs the other relationship. She's really like, I'm okay with just being with just you.
What do you mean closed? Closed, can you define that a little better?
Well, I was just talking to a friend of mine, and they are in a what they define as close poly relationships. That basically they are polyamorous, but there's things that they're that's sacred within their relationship. Like the dominant one in the relationship really only likes submissive. She's not submissive to anyone except for her primary
partner. You
know, partner.
We could go on and on with this conversation. That's the thing about poly, because poly people all have a lot to say, and there's several of them. So, you know, it could go on and on. But, I mean, can we hear back from you next week? Gotta
sure.
Find out what happens. I mean, if you talk a little bit more, I guess. More.
Oh, yeah, we're on a 3-week cross country tour, so we have about 8,000 miles on the road. So
all right. Okay. Well, if you pick up a lady, you know where to go with it. Okay. So,
thank you, guys.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank
Goddess
you.
Sadie. So, yeah, so we're here. We're talking about monogamy and polyamory and swinging and swapping. And bonobos who swing from the trees. Bonobos, oops. Bonobos slipping out of my hand. Bonobos swing from the trees as well as with each other, and they are our cousins. You know about bonobos, right? Well, anyway, you know, I have some more guests that I need to get up here. And so I think I'm going to take a couple of you. Maybe you were talking about demonstrating something, or no? I was thinking of you demonstrating something. You were talking about what were you talking about? You were a guest. You were a specialist. You are in demand to do certain things.
Certain things.
Certain things. Could you do any of those things?
Quite possible.
Okay.
Needs would a little prep work.
Prep work. Okay. Where do you have to prep?
My pants. No. I'm an edge player. I specialize in breath play, fire play,
yeah,
and single tails and loops.
Okay.
So,
do you have any of that with you?
Only my hands.
Okay. Well, you got nice hands. You know, yeah. That'll work.
Somebody needs to be choked.
One of your wives, I think. I mean, that's what I would say.
Damn, I was trying to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, would you?
No,
I don't care for being choked.
Okay, an offer.
No, we could do breath play whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Come up here because I have to now have the other two come on.
Sure.
So you're going to come up here.
Susie, move the bonobos
here.
Over there.
I'm
going to
move the bonobos.
Put them over here. Okay. Back over here. Back over here.
Yes.
Back over here. Thank you.
Okay.
Whoever you feel like choking tonight, sire.
Sire.
All right. We'll go with Sybil then.
Okay.
All right. So.
Okay, so now...
Hey, Leslie, could you pull that microphone, the bed microphone over here? It's on the stand. Yeah.
So you want to get into these chairs here? Okay. So right now we have Aphrodisiac.
Yes.
I had to look because I met you through a different name.
Yes, probably several.
Okay.
I have a couple.
Yes, and you are the wife or the husband or the partner?
The husband.
Yes, husband.
I am the
wife plus husband.
Yes, I am the husband.
She's my husband.
You make a very
hey,
cute couple.
Dr. Susie?
Yeah?
We actually have, he says it's Panty Boy.
Oh, Panty Boy.
And he's on the air. He's on the line.
Oh, my
Hi,
goodness.
Hi, Panty Boy. I wear special panties
boy.
For you.
Well, first, let me just quickly introduce Ima.
Ima.
Ima. Ima. Like, in Hebrew, that means mommy.
Mother, yes.
Yeah, mother.
Yes.
Really? Is that...
No.
No. Okay. Okay. But, and now I have Sybil and Orpheus Black on my bed. Do we have the microphone somewhere? Somebody can get me the microphone. Give it to... To Mr. Orpheus with one of his hands. He's going to hold that. In the other hand, he's going to do some choking. But let's say hello to Panty Boy, who has been a Twitter fan of the show for, gosh, months and months and months. So let's say hello.
Go ahead.
He's going to want to see your panties, by the way. I can already tell you that.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, hello, Panty Boy.
Hello, Dr.
Susie. I'm doing great. It's so nice to talk to you.
So finally, I have come.
Finally, you have come to the show. You are on the show. This is very exciting. I mean, I have all new guests, so they don't know you.
But my staff does, right? Helen is nodding. Yay, Helen is waving. Everybody knows you that's on the staff, and we're all very excited that you're here. So what brings you to call the show tonight?
Speak up,
darling. I can't hear you too well.
It's accomplished a dream.
You've accomplished a dream. Very good.
Yes, you know, I am a fan of you at Twitter, but I have never been a fan calling you.
Yes.
So I think my next dream is going to meet you or probably be in the show with
you. Your next dream is to come to the speakeasy, to enter the womb room. That's right. And Panty Boy has, there's a reason that his name is Panty Boy. And I guess that's kind of obvious, right? So, Panty Boy, I already have my panties exposed right now. Not that you're on the phone. Can you see? Are you watching us on drsusanblock.tv?
Yeah, right now I am seeing you.
You are seeing me.
I think I have like 10 second difference, so I'm not seeing you in live.
Okay, so you have a little 10-second delay. Right.
Yeah.
But now do you see me? Do you see the panties?
Sure.
Okay.
And I couldn't imagine what your girls have inside.
What I have inside. Just imagine Panty Boy. Oh, it's so romantic to be into panties because it's, you know, not quite the real thing. But very, very close, right. Now, Amina is nodding with great...
I love panties, you panty boy.
Feeling. Yes. Why do you love panties, Amina?
I love panties because they're very sexy. I have all kinds of panties. Some days I wear boy boxer briefs. I have a whole collection. I have G-strings. I have V-strings. Mm. I have everything in between. Panties
are
sexy.
What are you wearing tonight?
What am I wearing? Well, I knew Mr. Panty Boy was going to be calling in because you warned me. So I put something special on for Mr. Panty Boy.
All right. Yes, she's standing up.
Well, there's a double dose, Panty
Boy.
I don't know if you can see this.
Well, don't turn so quickly. Okay, so now we have little black boy shorts, I guess, is what this is?
I would call it a romper with garters.
A romper with garters, I see.
And
it's crotchless.
Crotchless, but because I'm a lady and you gotta work it to get into my crotch.
There's another pair of panties under it.
That says bootylicious.
Bootylicious.
In the front.
In the front. Right, got it.
Because that's how we roll in LA.
Turn around to that photographer there. That, show him the bootylicious.
In the front.
All right. I don't know if you got to see that, Panty Boy, Amina's panties.
They're pink, Panty Boy, with red glittery lips just for you.
Okay, they're pretty nice, I think. And I swear to be there.
Yes. Where are you from originally, Panty Boy?
Texas State.
You're from where?
Not South Texas.
South Texas. Okay. Like, but Mexico by way of, or...
No.
Are you a redneck?
I have a lot of friends there.
Uh-huh.
So I have 50% Mexico.
Okay.
50% Texas. But right now, so I was a little nervous because I don't know what happened here, but I completed my dream, so I'm very excited.
You're very excited. Yes. I'm wondering if Sybil is wearing panties. You have what?
A girdle.
Does that mean it's a panty girdle?
No, I see.
What we have on a panty girdle here. Wow, look at that.
I wish in the future, you know, I have been telling you about Janine in the future.
In the future, you will come visit us, Panty Boy.
Sure. I wish to have a dream to have Janny Lindenbunder in your show, Cytherea,
I think you're naming porn stars that I'm not quite. Oh, Cytheria. She's actually coming in 2 weeks. We're going to have a squirting show. Okay? But I should get back to my guests, darling.
Okay.
But you should call me again.
Sure.
Okay?
Very nice to call you. And okay. Nice to meet you, girls. And hope you can leave me.
Oh, I have one more question. Are you married or single?
Okay. I have always had a girlfriend. Married for me is more important right now.
You have a girlfriend? Are you monogamous? Are you just the two of you together? Or do you have other girlfriends?
No.
I have your imagination.
Sure. You know, you give me a lot of freedom right now.
With the freedom, right. We're all polyamorous in our minds. Right. Anyway. Okay, Panty Boy, I'm going to get back to my polyamorous swinging group of guests here.
Okay, thank you. And
okay, we're going to do a little choking. Okay, ciao, Panty Boy. Yay, Panty Boy.
Adios, Panty Boy.
Aw. Anyway, he has been tweeting for a long time. That's the first time he called. Okay, so back to us. Wow. We are here on the bed with Orpheus Black and Miss Sybil Hawthorne Black. And we're now going to have a choking demonstration or something like that. Can we take off some of the clothes? I mean, how about those beautiful breasts?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Here we go. Down we go. Okay, so microphone. Where's my beautiful microphone holder? Pam, where are you, Pam? Okay, I guess I'll hold the microphone.
She's so nervous.
Yeah,
it's like we don't do this on a regular basis.
I'm nervous every time.
That heavy breathing. It's like she's breathing her last. Do not try this at home. Oh. Whoa.
You're okay.
You lost your breath? For our radio audience, Orpheus Black is now choking Miss Sybil Hawthorne Black, one of his wives. This is part of his breath play specialty as a BDSM practitioner. And she seems to still be alive. In fact, I'm continually hearing her breathing, which is very reassuring.
You know, the best part about breath play is it's a total lack of control. You don't know how long you've been under, what happened, where you're at sometimes.
You kind of pass out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She can go...
I can go fully under, but when we generally do it, you don't pass out a little. You pass out. You fully pass out.
And did you kind of do that, though? I mean, No. When you fell down there? Were you just playing?
You started to go into what he calls twilight, where you get a little confused and woozy, but no, I did not go out.
Isn't that a pharmaceutical? Right. But they name it after a feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah, that in-between feeling.
And a lot of times, And I like to put people out right before orgasm too. You know, loud
really?
Denial. Yeah.
Uh huh. Now I say, do not try this at home because it's dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
And so, what do you have to do? You have to take lessons in how to do this. Really,
there's a lot of lessons that you got to take, but you have to be.
I mean, I feel like I can't talk when they're doing this because I want to make sure she's breathing. At the same time, I have a radio audience that was wondering, what's going on?
That was all the way out.
Yes. I don't really remember what I was doing for what seems about 15 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
You were passed out.
So I forgot that I was doing the show.
Yeah.
And just woke up to this.
Wow. What do you... Is it a nice awakening? I mean, look at all the people around you caring about you, wondering if you're alive.
It feels like you went to sleep.
Yeah.
So when you wake up, I often feel like I'm in my bed. And I wonder, why are you people all in my room? And then I realize, I'm doing an interview.
Yes.
And from a BDSM standpoint, I mean, technically I could put her out, take her into another room, and she would wake up and nobody would be there. You know, there's lots of things, cut all her clothes off, you know, turn her around so she's, anything that's going to take you into a different place.
Uh-huh. You know? And is this, I mean, you say you're a masochist. Is this painful to you or is this just otherworldly?
It can be painful because he will lift me up with, you know, by his hands. That's painful. But it's not actually, he actually doesn't restrict your breath either. It's the blood flow. So that's not painful in and of itself. And there's a panic feeling, but as soon as you're right about to go to pass out, you there's something in your brain that just says, don't fight it. Just go. It's lovely.
Ooh. So, but you could be dead that way.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, that's the key.
You know, the thing is a lot of people don't die as a result of the lack of blood. You know, a lot of people die because of crushed windpipes or because of impact, the results of after you pass out. Somebody falls and hits their head or hits something or something along those lines. But the idea of erotic play is really the loss of control. No matter what she does, she couldn't take my hand off her throat. You know, and the idea is if I want you to pass out, you're going to pass out. So you have to yield. You have to submit to what we're doing.
You seem all turned on by this.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite thing. I love the sex and choking. And
will you check and see how turned on he is? Here, hold this. Okay. So I have Rick Chu on the line from Florida. Just stay like that. You look great. And he is polyamorous man since the 1970s. Wow, since the swinging 70s, when it was really more, I don't know, political revolutionary. Now it seems like it's just practical and all about communication. Anyway, Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how are you, Doc?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm floating, baby. I think either you and or Kelly, you may know me on MySpace as Phil Fantasy Drunk.
Phil Fantasy Drunk? What?
Phil Fantasy Drunk.
What? Wait, did anyone... Is that what he
that
said?
That was correct, Doctor.
Phil Fantasy Drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil Fantasy Drunk. Yeah, I somehow backed into a life that's beyond belief. It's cool. It's fun. You know,
you backed into a life of a polyamory.
Yeah. Everything. Just
you act like you're almost as dizzy as Sybil is at the moment. Like you don't know where you are. Like suddenly you were passed out and you woke up with four wives. What's going on?
Is that girlfriends, however.
Girlfriends. Are these wives or girlfriends?
No, I don't want to be married till I turn 50.
Uh-huh. So are you more of a swinger or polyamorous?
I'd say polyamorous. Swinging is... Never got the full gist of it as far as I've always had open relationships to the point like, hey, somebody owned your, I mean, can I get physically descriptive on the words here?
Absolutely.
Somebody owned your pussy before me. Technically, the woman always owns it. Someone had it before me. Someone will have it when we are done with each other. And I pretty much live a life where time, I try not to acknowledge, the actual passing of time. I don't celebrate birthdays and whatnot.
I see. So it's all about the ownership or non-ownership of the pussy. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something to that, actually. I really do. I, in fact, think that we were probably all, whether you want to call it polyamorous or swingers, we were not monogamous for tens of thousands of years as humans. I get this from the book Sex at Dawn, although it's, I've been thinking it before it came out, but it is a great book that came out a year ago. And then when farming came into play, okay, we discovered farming, probably a woman did, but anyway, the men took charge of the farming, and they, you know, they figured out where babies come from, and they went, hey, that pussy is more than just fun, it's valuable.
It's gold.
It's a farm.
That pussy farms some
babies.
Babies who grow up to be either
lawyers,
my heirs or my slaves, depending, you know. I mean, but that became the power of the pussy. But, you know, it was funny because they noticed how powerful a woman's pussy is, and then they made her less powerful, a lot less. And that's
not in my world.
That's because you're, you know, evolved. But you brought up an interesting point about the ownership of the pussy. And so,
I mean, I'm kind of twisted by design. You know, I try to avoid the media. I just pretty much follow my heart for all of my creativity, all of my thoughts and patterns. I don't really acknowledge our government as per se.
I see. Typically, I got a note about you that you have crazy swing parties and tons of girls with you. You're like Black Orpheus here, except on the other side of the world.
Well, I have an issue, not an issue, but
that's Orpheus Black. I was thinking at the movie.
Standing relationship with all of my ex-girlfriends. And typically once a year I jump on one of my motorcycles and just cruise around the country and have a, this year it's going to be in Memphis, Tennessee, and up by the way.
Mm.
At present I have literally 30 women who have pretty much confirmed.
30?
I get twin suites, and sometimes I don't even take place. It's just five or six of my ex-girlfriends and I meet.
Wow.
And we openly invite others. We will show up early on a Friday morning. I'll select a typical doctor in the area. Everybody goes to the doctor for a medical screening. That is an absolute must.
You sound like Dennis Hopp up at the Bunny Ranch.
He does.
That's my policy for about 9 years now.
Okay.
And basically, I rent a motorhome.
Do you have a question for us, or did you just want to tell us about your great harem? That's okay.
No, I want to hear about
sound like
this motorhome.
Oh, the motorhome now. You got my husband's interest. Okay.
Yeah, well, I have a motorhome downstairs.
He wants to know what kind of motorhome.
I don't know
you
what
have
to do with it.
Mate. House of sex.
Mine only gets used once or twice a year now, unfortunately. It's a holdover from the old days when I raced. I lived on the road for basically 24 years. And, I don't really like living in a standard home issue. However, basically, like I said...
It's a hunter-gatherer. Not a farmer. Right?
Well, I have a pussy garden. That's one of the bedrooms here. It's called the pussy garden.
I have a dildo garden. I'm not saying if those are rubber or human, but anyway, darling, you are, I mean, I think that George is a little jealous, I'm not sure, but, and, you know, everybody's impressed with your, you're not Mormon, right?
No, I'm Jewish.
Okay, a Landsman, just like Papa Jacob, he had four wives and some concubines. Right? The patriarchs.
Up here. I live by a pretty major college.
And, okay.
Pull in, you know, young friends, we'll say. And one of the living arrangements is you have to, you know, you always have to be a lady. You have to get good grades, otherwise you can't send packing, at least out of my home. I'll teach you investments. I'll set a standard for the rest of your life that you will command among other men to treat you like, otherwise you will tell them, there's the door. Bye.
Okay, and there's the door. We got to move on. Yeah. But
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, okay? You know, there are so many swinging polyamorous, there's so many relationships like this all around the country, all around the world, I guess, right? It's not so unusual.
Well, I couldn't figure out how to fill my the motorhome.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my
motorhome. Oh, right. We could put a bunch of wives in there.
I want a motorhome filled with wives. Come on.
There you go.
Shit.
Me too.
So, I barely introduced you. This is Ima Black. You're one of the wives of Orpheus Black.
Yes.
And what's your specialty?
I guess the same answer as Sybil, I'd have to ask him.
What's her specialty?
What's her specialty? You know what? She's really good with my kids. She's like the house mom.
She's the actual mom. So you have kids in this household?
Yeah. We have three, but two are adult and moved out, and okay. We have one that we're still wearing.
Who's the bio mom, or are we not allowed to ask that?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Is that Indigo?
At this present moment, yes.
At this present, so what do you mean? You're the bio mom for
Well,
good,
no,
right?
I am a bio mom to this, to the child we have in the house now, excuse me.
Oh.
But I will not be having more children, but this doesn't mean that more children might not happen in our relationship.
Right. From
the others, yes.
Yes, and the copious Orpheus
amounts of sex.
Right. Okay.
We have talked
so
about having children.
You're babysitting now, but you want to have kids?
I do.
As part of the family, part of the
yes, that's
family?
Definite.
How about you? Yeah. Okay. You're gonna have a whole big.
And I'm thrilled about it because
gotta
we
make
can
a
have
lot
more
of money
kids
and buy all these diapers. You know?
That's why we live communally.
Ah.
Helps with the bills.
So, I just want to ask because how do the finances work here?
We all bring in money and pool our resources.
Okay.
You know, I always thought
that's cool.
Who's the accountant?
I think that would be me and sometimes, and most of the time, Indy, actually. Mm-hmm. Me and Indy do most of the finances now.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so everybody contributes to the household.
Exactly.
Correct.
Cool. And living communally goes back, thousands of years. I mean,
hey,
did you guys all hear that?
You all hear that here?
What's
in
that?
The community?
No, I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear what they were saying.
No, I'm talking to my people.
No, but we're not all married to each other.
I think our finances work out better than if it were just the two of us and three kids.
Yeah, you know
We all we all live happily. We all sleep in the same bed. We have a huge bed. Yes.
California king.
Jeez. We have two.
We have a king and a
queen put together.
Yes.
With the thing from late night TV, the infomercial to like make the king a double king.
No, I haven't seen that. We have to talk about that.
Gotta talk. I don't work for them, but I think you could use it.
And so
possibly
you live in an apartment and in a state.
We live in a three bedroom house.
In a three bedroom house. Okay, and the neighbors.
The neighbors don't, in our face, give a shit about it. But I'm quite sure that they have their opinions.
But they all know, right?
Oh, I'm quite sure. We've never talked to them about it. We've never been totally out with them. You know, we haven't had a coming out party or anything like that. But I'm quite sure they know. Yeah.
Okay.
We've had some work done inside. And the workers, when you come through, because there's three bedrooms, but it's quite obvious that one is an office, and one belongs to the child, and then the other one with this huge bed. And, no one said anything. I don't have to justify my life to you. And
do you have to justify it to the children?
No.
Have the children asked any questions? Do their friends ask questions?
No. no, but this is what we do. If we were a circus family, your children would see you blowing fire or walking a rope. It just is.
It's more of what I'm asking about what other kids might say because of their parents.
I have no idea what other kids have said.
They haven't said anything else about it.
But we've been very open about having whatever discussions because at first, when children first ask questions about anything, it's really very easy to answer their questions if you answer what they ask and not what you think they're asking. And we've always been open about, asking whatever questions. I remember not too long ago we had a question of where the eldest daughter, it just dawned on her that I actually like girls too. And she was, in the middle one knew, and she was like, are you bi? I said, yes, I am. And she was like, oh, okay. And that we went on to pick groceries. It was no big deal.
Right.
This is just what they know. They know also that other people live differently, and we don't judge on that. I don't have any problems about who my kids are going to be. I'm not expecting them to live the same life I do.
Mm. So aphrodisiac.
Yes.
Do I call you Afro for short, or the whole name?
The whole name.
The whole name.
Exactly.
Demanding.
Exactly.
Okay, well, aphrodisiacs are great. So you are a turn-on in and of yourself.
I've been told that, yes.
And how would you describe your relationship?
I would say technically in the sense that we're kind of swingers, but not swingers. We're not necessarily, because we don't have another person involved in our relationship. but we have we've had sexual relationships with each other with other people.
Ah,
so, you know, so
you open it up sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To another person.
We have, yes.
They share.
At, the general, that you may or may not be friends with.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the general understanding in our relationship that it's one of openness.
Yes.
Open right. relationship. And you know, in I just want to say as a point of trivia, that the book Open Marriage that came out in the 1970s wasn't really about sex. It was about just about communication. But everybody liked that phrase, open marriage, so they made it more about sex. Although, when it comes right down to it, open marriages that are about sharing sex really have to be about communication, or else get all jealous and screwed up.
I agree.
Yeah. So, where's your strap-on?
I'm wearing it.
You are?
Yes.
Can we see?
You? Yeah, sure.
You gotta put them back on.
It's I'm not gonna take it out.
What?
Yet,
oh, why not?
How much time? I don't plan on taking it out yet.
Oh. Well, I mean, what do you have to do? Get use Viagra? It's a rubber thing, right?
It's a special rubber. It's not. It's my rubber thing.
It's her rubber ducky.
It's my dick.
Okay. Okay.
So
take
just,
your time.
Just like you know, if you were to ask maybe a guy who.
They'd be
right.
they'd be
guys have issues,
in 5 seconds.
I know.
Well, yeah, but
no,
I'm
they
a,
don't.
I'm a,
oh,
I'm a girl,
whoa!
So, yeah,
I don't know why you'd have to be ashamed or shy about that.
That's a lot of meat there. That's a lot of meat there.
That's a lot of meat. Even Orpheus it's, Black is impressed.
Either go hard or go home.
And it's always hard, baby.
Always hard. Always.
No, keep standing up a second here.
Not falling asleep, none of that.
Hey.
More than 24 hours.
I resemble that remark.
Nothing goes down.
You know, so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And mine's in my purse.
Yeah.
Yours is in your purse.
Yes.
Okay. Well, since yours is in your purse, can you help her out with hers?
Under the table, yes.
Listen to that.
She's Judge Judy.
Yeah. She's horny.
What are these for, Doctor?
I guess to hold on to when you're going on a roller coaster. Nice. How about titty fucking or something?
Oh, you want to see some titty fucking?
Yeah, yeah.
Amina's got really
amazing tits. I know.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. They're pretty amazing.
Let's see these amazing tits. Whoa.
Those are nice.
Nice tits.
Yeah.
Yours are nice too. Wow, look at this. This is some impressive titty fucking.
My favorite kind of sandwich right here.
Yeah. Mm. Are you feeling some thrill there? I mean, are you connected to your cock?
Yeah.
Yes, I know it quite well.
Am I connected to my cock?
Yeah, keep going. No, I just sort of saw it.
Yeah. I think the thing is with if you pack hard, it's nice because you can actually get the cock to go up against your girl parts, your girl bits,
yeah,
your clit and all of that. So the sensation can be really just as nice, and I can come from not actually having penetration or anything like that. Just
from rubbing against your clit,
yeah,
and just being into it.
Literally, like if somebody's giving me a blowjob, I could come from getting a blowjob, even though this is not my born cock.
Mm. Okay? All right.
Yes.
You are orgasmic. Okay. All right. Let's hear it for prosthesis.
You've got 8 minutes.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
So do you have to actually be in the mood, or, I mean, literally, are you just ready to go 24 hours a day?
No.
I know it is.
It
are
is.
You? Do you have to be turned on as well?
Yes. Of
okay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, it's like I don't wear like a cock every day.
Okay.
It's definitely something I have to be, I put myself or I'm in the mood for. It's a dress.
Okay.
Like for me, it's like.
Can you move your microphone up a little bit?
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like playing dress up for me. You know, I'm a natural born actress. I embody it. I put my cock on and it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. So the way that I behave when I'm wearing a cock is the way that I would behave if I had a cock.
So when you're in the mood for that, that's what you get.
Exactly.
When you're in the mood for something else, you negate that.
Exactly.
Okay, I always wanted to
know. Yeah, and that's what's great about being, for me, like being a woman and, you know, having all these great,
that
amazing
is great
toys,
about being a woman.
Having
because
all of these toys
I
and all these different things that you can play with.
A guy, I think. No, I'm not a guy, of course, if you can't tell. But I don't know. I just feel it's different. I mean, a guy can think in his head, I want to have sex, I want to have sex. But if the Viagra isn't in his system and his cock doesn't want to, forget it. Mm-hmm. He may want to. He may think it's the right thing to do. He might think he's even excited in some mental way, but if it's not going on between the legs, it's not going on.
That's the primitive man, though. Because now I come with accoutrement. I got the same thing you get. You know what I mean? If it don't work, I'll strap it on, pull it out the drawer, plug it in.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I got equipment.
That's what I was
going to
say.
I got thousands of dollars worth of gear at the house.
For men as well.
Three wives.
Amen. Props to that, because a lot of men won't admit to that, and there's absolutely nothing wrong. These toys exist for a reason. For us to feel more pleasure. So whether you're a man, woman, or whatever you call yourself, and it's when you're in the mood, or if I ask you to, then it's on popping.
Yeah,
why not? It's fun to pack as a female, especially a woman that people would never ever think that's a dirty pleasure of mine, to pack a different size penis and go out in public in an outfit that maybe I shouldn't be, you know? Mm. And it's just a fun little dirty thing, because people would never think that kind of girl. Mm. And I'm like, bend over, honey. Let me take you for a ride.
It's always those girls that you never think.
It is. It's the teachers, always.
It's all kinds of girls these days. It's a girl revolution going on right now.
Thank goodness. You know? It's about time. Matriarchs.
I don't have a...
A unit?
I don't identify that way. But I do love to wear men's suits.
Ooh, yes.
And I must say, when I put on a man's suit and I have a cigar in my mouth, if you are a woman that I find slightly attractive, there is a hunt.
There's a Mr. Winston.
Leave me alive!
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and sometimes it's, I guess, a dildo if you're Bill Clinton.
You know what? Yeah. The cigar, it goes with the male persona that I embody. You know what? I think Victoria, the movie, did a lot for me as a child, and I identified very much with that. And it's all part of these masculine overtures.
I only have a couple of minutes left. I didn't offer. I'm sorry. I'm such a bad hostess. I have a drink for everyone.
It's green juice. What is it, doctor?
It's green juice. Agua. Would you like some agua?
Yes.
Okay. So now there's a way you have to drink it, though.
Oh, is it through the penis straw?
That's mine.
I know, doctor.
That's mine. I'm monogamous with my penis straw. No, you have salt that you not your hand. That's so boring. Your partner here. Lick off of her, but maybe something other than her hand. You could do it off of her dick, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, if she's really, you know, you have to lick it first and then put the salt on. Okay, but come out a little so we can see you. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah, so
I should do it like this.
Yeah, you pour it for her. Okay. And you're going to just spring. Wait. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, lick.
Go. Lick.
Lick first.
Yeah.
Lick first, and then
salt.
Salt. Okay. Now shot. That's nice.
Tastes
delicious.
There's your shot. And down the hatch. Okay. Now, some guys, you see, when they have the salt on their cock, they shrivel up. So you didn't. I mean, because the salt on the cock, I mean, it's a little intense.
Salty cock.
Okay. So who's next? Who wants a drink?
Pass the
one.
But you gotta get the salt.
Did you already get salt?
You have to salt her up, though. Tits. Oh! Let us see. There we go. Okay, and does she have her drink? Do you want one? And we've got to rush around here.
Why don't you
just, like a waitress, ask them whether they want any. And this, do you want any? Okay. Now we need to salt her. We got to get him salt. Get him some salt.
Yum.
I don't know what that is, but it's delicious.
It is. It is agua coco leaf liqueur, perfectly legal, but it does come from the coco leaf.
Nice. Ooh, lovely. Nice. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, and here we go. Oh. Now, Mr. Orpheus Black really knows how to drink his agua.
Agua.
Yes. He's making those nipples stand up and pay attention. Yeah. He hasn't even put the he hasn't even put the salt on yet. That's what I call preparing your meal. Yeah, okay, here we go. Very nice. Yes. Very nice. Lick that salt up. Don't you miss a drop.
We're hungry. Yeah,
very good. Yeah, lick it all around. Lick it all around. All right. Good to the last drop. You don't want to lick some off of him?
No. See, that's the thing with guys. Like, be a real
person. Hey, you got 2 minutes.
I've got 2 minutes. Who wants to do a salt lick?
Off of you?
I did a salt lick.
I did a salt lick. Oh, if
didn't
I
see it.
Okay,
Papa didn't
I've already
see it.
Had I've had one shot.
Doctor, do you want a salt lick?
Do I want
okay.
a salt lick?
Salt lick off
sure.
of you?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you want to come up here
over
so
there?
I'll
oh,
take
off
it.
Of you? Oh god.
No, off of your tit. I don't know. Am I being the salt lick or am I licking the salt?
We've got multiple salt licks going on.
Okay, we've got a lot of salt licking. This is sister wives salt licking here.
Oh, we need a salt mine. Whoa.
Okay. Oh, you want to salt me up? Oh, okay. All right, sure. Yeah. I was going to salt you up. It's the end of the show. I can have a drink. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. So I'm going to salt you up.
Well, actually, they should all come up here now because it's...
We're about to do
the best.
But except we have to say where you're going to...
Oh, yeah, where we
but
can...
But I think we're in groups here tonight, yeah. so we can probably do
they're
it pretty
quickly.
They're
all in the same place.
We're all in the same place, right. We're all up here. Let's just sit down for a second here. And where's the salt? Okay. Oh, but you're doing salt licks right
there's
here.
There's one here.
Okay.
Where's the bed mic?
All right, so now, here we go.
Bed mic.
Bed mic, okay.
Bed mic.
All righty here. Salt lick, okay. Bed mic, somebody find the bed mic, and I am now licking salt off of the lovely breasts of Amina Noir, and
there we go.
Her significant other, aphrodisiac, is grinning, and her cock is still hard over this. Okay, here we go. Delicious polyamorous tit. Okay. And where's my drink? I don't know. Okay. So now is the time that we thank ourselves and tell us where we can reach you. So, Papa, Orpheus Black, where do we reach you?
OrpheusBlack.com or OrpheusAndIndigo@gmail.com. You can go ahead and get
it. You're even giving out your email address. You on G Plus yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, I'll invite you. Yeah. Okay, and you have a special place, Sybil, is that right, that we reach you? Or are you in the same place?
I don't know if you can reach me in my special place for free. you can, SybilHawthorne.com. I'm also on Twitter, the Miss Sybil. So, either way.
Yes, she is. She's a good little tweeter, and so is Amina. Amina's
I'm a good little tweeter twatter, and you can follow me on Twitter, Amina Noir, at Twitter.
Yeah. No, I have a microphone.
She's set up like Britney, but better.
And Aphrodisiac, you're also a good little Twitterer.
I am
tweeter.
I am a good twatter. I am on Twitter as well. I go by Aphrodisiac on Twitter, and you can also find me at Cherry Juice Box, and the box has three X's.
Mm. The box has three X's. Got it,
that's
yeah.
three
okay.
X's.
Cherry Juice Box.
And Ema, you're with the Black family,
yes,
right?
Yes, I can only be contacted through Orpheus Black.
Okay. And the guy that started the show, the idea of the show, Monogamy Sucks,
you know, we didn't have a lot of swingers tonight. We have all these people that are making commitments. But you represented the casual sex commitmentless guy.
That's it.
Okay, this is you. And you have a great book. You can get it on Amazon, right?
You can get it on Amazon. You can also follow my book and what I'm up to at monogamysucks.wordpress.com. And also follow me on Twitter, GP Writer, WRITER.
And talk about a good little twatter.
Mr. Twatter
he is a fierce gold like star for tweeting.
You're a good fodder.
And whether you're a swinger or you're just a woman that wants to get inside of the mind of a single swinging guy, or you're a guy that's considering swinging and you want to know the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, and you want to be amused along the way, Monogamy Sucks. You got to get it. All right. So I think that's everybody. So I want to thank all of us. And I want to thank... yeah, the bonobos. And I want to thank you, my darling viewer or listener, for having us in your home, your mansion on a hill, or your cardboard box, or your RV, or your harem, or your single pad, or your Playboy retreat. Whatever you are, wherever you are, I want you to be good. You know, that's a lot of what this is about. I appreciate you put ethical hedonism in your book, Monogamy Sucks. Ethical hedonism, all the way. Okay, ethical hedonism and the bonobo way, okay? I want you to make like bonobos, not baboons. You know, bonobos are famous not just because they fuck a lot and they're all polyamorous, but also because somehow they figured out a way to turn that sex into non-violence, or at least non-killing. They beat each other up a lot, you know, sort of like Black Orpheus here does. You know, they kind of choke each other and smack each other, but they never kill each other somehow. They have this caring thing that seems to come out of all the sex. Anyway, we're studying them, but they are our inspiration, our mascots, our great loves, you know?
And you should adopt a bonobo.
Adopt a bonobo at Lolo Ya Bonobo. They are going, you know, they're very endangered. We want to save them from extinction, and anytime you pay for anything with the Dr. Susan Block Institute, by the way, a portion of your payment goes to the bonobos that we've adopted. You know, whether you join drsusanblock.tv or you call us for therapy because you got to work out all your polyamorous relationships. Whatever you do, you know, we're supporting the bonobos, and you can also go to Lola Ya Bonobo, find it online, and adopt a bonobo yourself. But the most important thing is to try to be inspired by them. To make love, not war, to make love to someone you love tonight. And if you got a whole harem, then you got it made. But maybe you don't, so just make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. Ooh. Hallelujah. Yeah. The climax. Did not climax in a climactic way, but hey, we are here. And now everybody come up. We're going to do a group picture. Okay.
Group to talk with someone
picture.
About something you can't
group
talk about
picture.
With anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.